You guys have any fake flowers in your homes? Yeah. We do too, a few of them. You know, there's a difference, isn't there, between fake flowers and real flowers? There is. Just a little bit, right? You know, and the difference is that fake flowers are manufactured. They're not grown. You know, a fake flower doesn't have a smell. Sometimes they do have a smell, but it's not the smell of a flower. It's not a pleasant smell. To the touch, you know, they feel plastic or whatever it is they're made out of. They last forever, which kind of sounds like a good thing at first, unless you're thinking of them in a landfill, not contributing to the ecology that they're a part of, like real flowers do. On the plus side, we can have them right now. Go to the store, buy one, take it home. It's easy. You don't have to tend it or feed it or make sure it has enough light. Someone else did the work of making it, so that's a plus. And we are, as human beings, in control of the whole process from beginning to end. Now, like I said, there's no offense if you have fake flowers in your house. We do too, here and there, but it's not the same as real flowers, and we do have some still blooming from Easter around here. It's not the same. There's a spiritual point here too, not just a decoration, a home decor lesson here. There's a spiritual point that growth is a process. Growth has its own principles that we must follow if we are going to get the product that we are looking for. We have to abide by someone else's rules, so to speak. And there are aspects of real growth that are outside of our control. Things that we cannot do on our own. We are going to be, over the next few weeks, talking about a process called natural church development. And it's a little bit different. It's going to be a little different sermon series because it goes along with a process we're actually doing as a community after worship as well. And I think sometimes churches are rightly skeptical of new programs or new things that are brought in from the outside. Because a lot of times those things that we bring in from outside are models. There's something manufactured. It's kind of like, if you do this, you will have this. You are in control of the process. This will happen. And sometimes what happens is churches that kind of feel and smell and look like fake flowers, kind of an imitation of the real thing. One of the reasons we're going to be doing this natural church development process, though, is because it's not about a model. It's about a process. It's about principles of growth. Natural Church Development has studied and worked with tens of thousands of churches around the world. That's a huge sample size. And what they've done is studied the churches that are growing, in not just in quantity, but in quality. And what are the growth principles that we see in those churches? And they've come up with 8, which we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. But all of this is about those principles, not a model. There's not the natural church development church that you just buy and put into this building with these people. It's a process. And we as a church must know the difference between a manufactured product and a grown organic thing. Because there are very different ways that a manufacturer does their job from how a florist or a gardener or a farmer does their job. And we live in a manufacturing society, and you know, here in what we call the Rust Belt, You know, we are very, our society, and not just our society, our thinking, not just our economy, but the way we look at the world is very much shaped by manufacturing and industry. And we need to come back time and again to what the Bible says about how growth in the kingdom of God happens. That it's not something that's manufactured, it's something that is grown. Natural church development is built on Jesus' words in Mark 4 that were just read. We're going to, which button is it, Kevin? The bottom one? Left one. There we go. Mark 4 shows us these two principles of the growth process, that growth is God's work, cultivation is our work. Growth is God's work, cultivation is our work. And if you think I've preached this sermon before, you're right, I have. Probably a couple times. Not on this exact passage, and no, not exactly these same words. I didn't just copy and paste, but this is a principle that we have to really deeply internalize if we're going to be the church. And if we're going to be growing disciples. Because what's true for the church is true for each one of us individually in our walks with Christ. To remember that growth is God's work and cultivation is our work. And so let's begin by looking at God's role in growth first. The passage that we read today is this very short parable. In Mark 4, Jesus tells a whole series of parables, and most of them are organic or agricultural stories to tell us what the kingdom of God is like, what it's like when God does what God does. And he says in this parable, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And natural church development picks up on this phrase and uses this phrase a lot, all by itself growth. Now, of course, growth doesn't happen all by itself, but it is something that happens outside of our control. It's not something we force to happen. Growth is God's work. And it's not just this passage. So let's look at Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, this is God speaking, my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish. God's word shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So it's God's word that brings the growth. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each, for we are God's servants working together. You are God's field. And so in God's field, who is it that brings the growth? God. Paul takes great pains to make that very, very clear to us. And so I think the point is that if we are focused on the results, we are going to come up short because we are trying to do what only God can do. And that is a recipe for failure. But if we are focused on God and the work that God has given us to do, growth then happens, as it seems, all by itself. So we need to recognize this, that growth is God's work. And we need to put our attention into the right things, into the right kinds of work, if we want to see fruit. And so let's look at our role in growth. Now, if we collect some of the phrases used in these passages we've already read, what is our role? Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. Those are cultivation. It's the work of a gardener or a farmer. It talks about how the word of God gives seed to the sower. So there's sowing again, planting, and bread to the eater. So there's enjoying as well. That's our role. In the parable, Jesus tells a man scatters seed on the ground, again planting. And then at the end, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So this harvesting, again, this is all of the process of a farmer or gardener. We could add to that. What are some other things we could add to that? The work of a gardener or farmer. What do gardeners or farmers do?
They watch.
They watch? That's a good one. They weed. What's that?
Fertilize.
Yeah, make sure that all the nutrients are there that it needs.
They build.
They build structures, right? Yeah, exactly. And they space. They make sure spacing is correct. They do all of those things as well. And that's what we do. We cultivate an environment where God's word and God's work can take hold and make a difference. Has anyone ever been a farmer? Grown up on a farm, maybe? Grew up on a farm, done some farming work. Does anyone have a garden? Okay. So you know that when we say, talk about all by itself growth, that it doesn't mean that we just sit back and, you know, we do watch, and there's a great joy in watching, but we don't just sit back and watch, right? There's all of these things that we have talked about that go into cultivating a garden or cultivating a farm. And so where is our attention? Our attention is on the environment, right? Not just on the plants themselves, but on the environment in which the plants are growing, on the soil, on the spacing of the plants, on the water and the light that can come in. It's on the environment. And so if we are not seeing growth in a garden or in a church, if plants are dying, that means that there's something unhealthy in the environment, right? That's what you would assume. You don't just, if you have a garden and plants are dying, you don't just go and buy new plants and plant them in the same garden. That would be foolish because you're not addressing the issue at hand. Those plants are just going to die as well. You don't pull the plants, trying to stretch them out so they're bigger. That would not be good gardening practice. You cannot make the sun come out. You cannot make photosynthesis happen in your garden. All you can do is tend the environment of the plants. If something is dying, if plants are not flourishing as you hope they will, you would assume that something is blocking the light, or they're not getting enough water, or there are bugs or some sort of disease at work, or the spacing of your plants is wrong. You look at the environment. This is what a gardener, this is what a farmer is attentive to. The farmer tends to the environment, not the result. They harvest the result, but they can't make the result happen. Okay, so now we've been speaking in metaphor, right, for a while now. Let's try and get a little more, let's bring the metaphor home a little bit. So for a disciple, what is the environment? For a Christian, what is the environment that we're attentive to? The world we live in? Can we just go out into the world and make a difference? Where do we see growth happen as a disciple? Around us? With other disciples? What about inside? Ourselves first. I'm going to call the environment for the disciple the environment of your soul. That's kind of what the Bible talks about. Our inner, our most deepest self. This is the environment that we cultivate if we want to grow. And so the question is your life, is the environment of your life conducive to growth? Or do you have a soul that's just stuffed with things that you're chasing after? Remember all of the what's that we seek after, that we talked about on Easter, all of those things that we want and are running around, is that all stuffed into your soul? And if they are, the spacing of your soul needs adjustment. Growth cannot happen when our souls are filled with all kinds of desires and wants and wishes? Are there bugs or disease in your soul? These habits, these patterns of living that the scriptures call sin, these things that just don't work with God's work in us. Is there something in your life, some habit, something you do that is just sabotaging the process of growth and resurrection that God wants to bring into your life? Is there room in your soul for light and water to get in? This is why we talk about spiritual practices like solitude and silence, of taking time to be in the scriptures, in the word. Otherwise, you're not receiving the thing, your soul is not receiving the things that your soul needs to grow. Is your environment conducive, your soul environment conducive to growth? That's what we have to look at as we as farmers cultivate spiritual growth in our own lives. How about as a church? Let's call the environment for growth in the church the community of souls. Looking at the community of our life together. And this is what natural church development is going to most intently look at. What is healthy in our community environment? What is unhealthy in our community environment? That's really important to know. It's important for us as gardeners, spiritual gardeners and farmers, to tend to the appropriate needs in our community environment. So if your plants aren't growing in your garden, and the problem is that sunlight can't get in, and you just keep watering it and watering it, you're just going to do more harm than good, right? If the problem is not enough sunlight, you have to clear space for sunlight to happen. If your problem is a lack of water, then spraying your plants with treatments for bugs and diseases is not going to fix the problem. And so that's what next week we're going to do a little survey from Natural Church Development that will hopefully help us to pinpoint those areas in our church that are the strongest and healthiest and say, look, that area has lots of water. We have lots of water. We're good on the water. But we need more sunlight. It's going to point out those areas where we can really focus our attention and really see or begin to process through some changes to that environment. But the key, again, is to let God bring the growth and let us do our work of cultivating our souls, of cultivating our community. And those two things reinforce one another, right? And the same is true in a garden, ultimately. Healthy plants contribute to the environment, and healthy environments contribute to growth in a plant. Healthy, growing, well-cultivated souls create a community that is more life-giving and more sustaining. And a healthy community that is life-giving and sustaining contributes to the growth in our souls as well. They reinforce one another. And this is our work. It is the work of the people. It's not the work of one or two, whether that one or two be a pastor up here or someone sitting in a pew. This cultivation is not the work of just one or two people, and that's why we've invited really anyone to be a part of this process, not just here at 10:30, but also afterwards and at noon. We got some pizza coming. We have some activities planned to help cultivate our souls today around noontime. And I hope you'll be a part of that process over the next 5 or 6 weeks. The church is like a garden. It takes work. It really does. Nothing good and worthwhile does not require work. But when the work that we put in faith meets the work that God puts in bringing the growth, that's when we are truly able to rest in the beautiful garden of resurrection. That's when we're able to inhale the aroma of Christ together. That's when we're able to feast on the fruits of the Spirit that we've cultivated so intently.